The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues for the next half hour. I'll be reading articles, at least initially, from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. And this is a special report from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. It's dated February 2024. And it's about an interesting subject, which is weight loss. Specifically, the new science of weight loss, seven perspectives that have transformed obesity treatment. After taking steroids to help treat a series of infections, Donna Cooper felt hungry all the time. Eventually, she gained 33 pounds. I reached a point where I couldn't fit into my clothes, she says. It was very depressing. As a personal trainer with a background in nutrition, Donna knew what to do. I was exercising, journaling, and eating healthy. The weight just wouldn't come off, she says. Then Donna's doctor prescribed Wegovy, a newly approved weight loss medication. The drug blunted her appetite and hunger. When coupled with additional lifestyle changes, including watching her portion sizes and committing to regular walks, Donna lost 25 pounds over 4 months. Donna's story illustrates how the weight loss picture has shifted. Medical experts know that healthy habits may not be enough to help some people manage their weight. Powerful weight loss tools now offer renewed hope. This report explores seven ways the latest scientific thinking has advanced, along with what it might mean for you. New perspective number one, your healthy weight is closer than you think. Healthy weight recommendations can seem unattainable to many people. Take the body mass index, a calculation based on weight and height. A woman who's 5'6" and 310 pounds would have a BMI of 50. This would be classified as having obesity. To reach a healthy weight based on her BMI, she would need to lose 145 pounds, about half her body weight. For some people, a BMI goal of 25 is unrealistic and possibly not even healthy, says Tara Schmidt, MEDRDNLD, the lead registered dietitian for the Mayo Clinic diet. That's partly because many people turn to extremely low-calorie diets that restrict entire food groups in order to lose substantial amount of weight. Though such diets can result in weight loss for people who stick with them, they also can harm overall health by leading to rapid weight loss. When you lose weight too quickly, more weight comes from water and lean muscle and less from fat. Because muscle helps power your metabolism, significant losses of muscle can make it harder to maintain a healthy weight long term. Causing side effects. Rapid weight loss puts extra stress on the body, which can lead to hair loss, fatigue, headaches, and constipation. Losing key nutrients. If you omit entire food groups, you'll struggle to consume all of the nutrients your body needs. For example, people on extremely low carbohydrate diets tend to not consume enough fiber. Calculating your healthy weight. Here's some welcome news. You may not need to reach a BMI of 25 to improve your overall health. Losing a small percentage of your total weight, as little as 3%, can improve your fasting blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C. Both of these health markers can be elevated in those with metabolic syndrome and diabetes. For the woman mentioned earlier who weighs 310 pounds, that adds up to slightly more than 9 pounds. That's much more attainable. But let's say the same woman wants to improve more than just her blood sugar levels. Maybe she wants to bring down high blood pressure and blood cholesterol, too. How much more would she have to lose? Not much, finds research. Losing around 10% of her total body weight would likely be enough to have an impact. That's about 30 pounds. According to a BMI chart, She'd still have obesity, and she may still need medication for blood pressure and cholesterol, but her health would have dramatically improved. In addition to improving heart and metabolic health, this amount of weight loss also would be likely to lead to more energy, less joint pain, improved quality of life, slower aging, and a longer life. For Donna, a 12% weight loss was enough to bring her A1C into a healthy range. She reached her healthy weight at 182 pounds, which was 25 pounds less than her starting weight. My doctor said that all my blood test results are at optimal levels. These are the best results I've had in 10 years. I'm so happy, Donna said. New perspective number two, obesity is like any other disease. Many people falsely assume that obesity stems from a lack of willpower or self-control. That's a prime example of obesity bias, and it's rampant, says Schmidt. This anti-fat stigma can work against people, making it harder to lose weight. Experiments have shown that when people experience weight stigma, their eating increases. This stigma also may cause people to avoid exercise. Actually, obesity has little to do with willpower. It's a complex disease that stems from many different factors. Yes, nutritional habits do play a role, but what you eat is heavily influenced by factors that may not be within your control. For example, Mayo Clinic obesity researchers have determined that most people with obesity have one of the following traits: a hungry gut that leads them to feel hungry again soon after eating, a hungry brain that causes them to not feel full, regardless of how much food they've consumed, emotional hunger that contributes to lack of control when eating in response to emotions and pleasure, a slow metabolism that reduces their resting energy expenditure. In addition to biologic factors, a person's environment, such as where they live, can contribute to unhealthy eating choices. So can sleep, stress level, and prescription medications. You can't just say it's about what you put in your mouth and whether you exercise, Schmidt says. There's more to it. New perspective number three, weight loss medications serve as a powerful weight loss tool. Significant weight loss often can be challenging to achieve through lifestyle modification alone. The Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, has approved several powerful prescription drugs for diabetes and obesity. Many of these medications manage blood sugar level, slow stomach emptying, and target the brain areas involved in appetite. When used along with a healthy lifestyle, these medications can lead to weight reductions of up to 15% of total body weight. That can be enough to lower blood pressure and blood sugar, reduce the risk of stroke and heart attack, and relieve joint discomfort. Though these medicines are highly effective, some people avoid them because they think of them as cheating or the easy way out. That could not be farther from the truth, says Schmidt. And in a sidebar, the article goes on to mention that some of these medications that are prescribed for weight reduction include liraglutide or Saxenda, semaglutide, which is also called Wegovy or Ozempic, tirzepatide or Zepbound, phentermine, topiramate or Qsymia, naltrexone bupropion or Contrave, and setmelanotide or Lemsivrey. It also points out that some of the most popular of these drugs have a side effect of nausea and vomiting, particularly Wegovy, Ozempic, Saxenda, and Zepbound. In another sidebar, it mentions how to eat for health when you're not hungry. when you first start taking a weight loss medication, you may not have much of an appetite, and eating may feel like a chore. This can make it challenging to consume healthy foods like raw vegetables. These sensations are often short-lived and go away once your body has adjusted to the medication. In the meantime, use this advice. Cook your vegetables. A half cup of cooked broccoli contains roughly the same nutrients as a full cup of raw broccoli, but takes up much less room in your stomach. Drink your meals. Some people find smoothies easier to sip, especially for breakfast. Increase the protein content by adding yogurt, milk, tofu, or a protein powder. Eat cold foods. They're less aromatic than hot foods, making them less likely to trigger nausea. Choose soup. It can be a comfort when you don't have much of an appetite. Add lentils, Greek yogurt, or shredded cheese to bump up the protein. And opt for toast. Toast made with whole grain bread can be a simple part of a nutritious meal at any time of day. Top it with nut butters like peanut butter, egg, hummus, or cheese for added protein. Then the article goes on to say, when you have a disease diagnosis, it's not cheating to take a drug that helps improve that disease state. Consider any other disease, like high blood pressure. Yes, lifestyle changes can help manage it, but many people also need to take a medication to keep their blood pressure under control. The same is true for obesity medication, Schmidt says. These medicines are tools that help to treat some of the symptoms of obesity that are not within someone's control, she says. Primarily, they help turn down the volume of hunger and craving, she says. New perspective number four. Healthy habits support prescription medications. You might wonder, if weight loss medications are so effective, why bother with lifestyle changes? To understand the importance of a healthy lifestyle, consider other diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, or high blood cholesterol. For these chronic diseases, prescription medications are available, and they work. Yet they work even better when paired with proper nutrition, exercise, sleep, and other healthy habits. For example, when people take medication to control their blood pressure, they often take steps to reduce their sodium intake. A healthy lifestyle is equally important for the treatment of obesity. When paired with the latest weight loss medications, you'll likely experience more effective weight loss. Healthy habits support the medicines to work better in the short term and the long term. Reduced risk of regained weight. If you stop taking a weight loss medication, your lifestyle can help you maintain your weight loss. A healthy metabolism. Weight loss generally involves the loss of both fat and lean muscle tissue. When muscle mass is lost, your metabolism slows, making it harder for you to continue to lose weight or maintain a lower weight. Consuming enough protein and performing strength training exercise will help you to minimize muscle loss, allowing you to maintain a healthy metabolism. Medication is a tool. It's a fabulous tool, and we want to be able to help patients to use it effectively. But people still need to eat healthy and to exercise, says Schmidt. New perspective number five, eat for health. Many fad diets lead to weight loss, but they can harm your health. For example, if you follow a very restrictive 800-calorie diet that consists primarily of cabbage soup, you'll lose weight all right, but your health likely won't improve, and chances are you won't enjoy it. Eventually, you'll probably go off the diet and regain the weight. Here's a better approach. Choose a sustainable eating plan that promotes overall health and well-being without predominantly focusing on weight. Take the Mayo Clinic diet. It's not an on-again, off-again diet. Instead, it's a lifestyle approach designed to help you improve your health, feel better, and possibly lose weight. The diet can enhance your energy and reduce your risk of disease, says Schmidt. Even if you're already at a healthy weight, following the diet's principles can help you to improve your health. The diet's guiding principles include: eat a healthy first meal of the day. It doesn't need to be a lot. Choose a whole grain, like a whole grain toast, a fruit or veggie, and a protein, like a non-fat yogurt. Consume 4 or more veggie servings and 3 fruit servings daily. They should take up the largest portion of your plate at every meal and serve as the basis for any snacks you consume. Choose whole grains over refined grains. Whole grains include the entire grain kernel, which is rich in essential vitamins. Whole grains help you to feel full and can help you with optimized weight. Choose healthy fats over less healthy options. Heart-healthy fats are found in olive oil, vegetable oil, avocado oil, nuts, and nut butters. But heart-healthy or not, all fats contain about the same amount of calories. That means you'll want to consume all fats sparingly. Avoid added sugar. If you want something sweet, eat fresh fruit. Instead of using sugar or syrup with your breakfast, put healthy fruit on your cereal, oatmeal, or pancakes. You can also head to your spice cabinet. Mix cinnamon with unsweetened applesauce as a spread on pancakes or toast. Other spices that may add a sweet flavor include allspice, cardamom, cloves, ginger, and nutmeg. Lean toward plant-based proteins. Between 10 and 35% of your calories should come from protein. So if your daily target is 1,800 calories, that's 180 to 630 calories from protein, which equals about 45 to 158 grams. Ideally, choose plant foods like legumes for some of those proteins. Even lean cuts and skinless poultry are calorie dense. Red meat and processed meat is associated with an increased cancer risk. Don't eat while watching TV. Too much screen time contributes to increased health risk and weight. That's probably because you weren't moving, and there's also a good chance that you're sipping or nibbling mindlessly. New perspective number 6. Emotional eating isn't a sign of failure. Many people turn to food for comfort when they're dealing with difficult problems or looking for distraction. Judge yourself for emotional eating tends to trigger more emotional eating, says Schmidt. Rather than berate yourself for it, see if you can get in touch with the underlying reason for it. The following steps can help. Notice the situations that lead you to eat for reasons other than hunger. For several weeks, try keeping a journal. In it, jot down notes whenever you snack, or take second helpings of meals. Include what you eat, how much you eat, when you eat, how you feel when you eat, and how hungry you feel. Over time, you might see patterns that reveal the connection between mood and food. After keeping a journal for several days or weeks, review your notes to see if you can spot any patterns. Zero in on the times you ate despite not feeling hungry. Consider the question, what was driving my eating? Chances are your non-hunger-based eating was triggered by one of the following patterns. Socially driven eating. Everyone around you was eating, so you did too. Cue-driven eating. The sight, scent, or sound of food cued you to eat. Deprivation-driven eating. You were restricting yourself and felt you deserved a treat. Time-driven eating. You usually eat at this time. Transition-driven eating. You were changing from one activity to another, like going from work to home. Emotion-driven eating. You were using food to cope with or distract yourself from a strong emotion. Step 2. Choose a different response by asking yourself, what emotion am I feeling right now? What has triggered this emotion? you may start to notice patterns along with some solutions. For example, if boredom drives you to eat, your brain is likely seeking a distraction. Food can certainly distract you, but so can calling a friend, going for a walk, or engrossing yourself in a hobby. If you're stressed, you might reach for alcohol to help you relax, but you can relax in many other ways that don't involve alcohol. Maybe deep breathing, stretching, resting, or cuddling with a furry pet will work as effectively. If you snack while watching TV, you're likely responding to a cue. To break the habit, replace unhealthy snacks you eat in front of a screen with healthy snacks or beverages. Then choose a smaller portion. Keep reducing the amount as you slowly work to kick this habit altogether. If sadness triggers you to eat, consider what you're seeking. Comfort? Happiness? Then come up with a list of healthy ways to lift your mood. If social situations lead to eating, suggest getting together in different ways, like meeting friends for a game of pickleball or a nature hike. New perspective number 7. Lapses are to be expected. It's common to assume that weight loss or habit change will be linear. If you drew your expectations on a graph, the result would look like a straight line. But weight loss and habit change tend to involve the proverbial few steps forward, one step back. In other words, rather than a straight line, progress looks more like a bunch of zigzags. That's because even with a good plan and the best of intentions, you'll inevitably run into some obstacles. There'll be days when you eat more or move less. Life might get too busy to prepare healthy meals. You might sleep in and miss the morning walk. Sweets might come back into your life as you cope with a loss. Similarly, weight loss also is rarely linear. Even with a consistent healthy lifestyle, plateaus are natural as your body adjusts to its new weight. Whenever you revert to old behaviors and when your weight plateaus, don't beat yourself up. Getting down on yourself doesn't work. It will likely make it more challenging to get back on track. Instead, try to see lapses as expected. Lapses happen, says Schmidt. Expect them and plan for them. Say hello to them. Work through them and move on. Everyone experiences challenges. You can't change the past. What does help is analyzing what happened so you can try to respond differently next time. To overcome the lapses that occur on your journey, use this advice. Don't let negative thoughts take over. Remember that each day is a chance to start anew. And I'm going to turn now to a sidebar in this article, which is called An Expert's Perspective. And this involves an interview with Dr. Andres Acosta, who's an obesity researcher at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. The first question is, who can take prescription obesity medications? Prescription weight loss medications may be an option if your body mass index is in the overweight or obese category. These medications are approved for people who have a BMI greater than 30 or a BMI greater than 27 coupled with a serious obesity-related medical condition, like diabetes or high blood pressure. How do obesity drugs work? Medicines approved by the Food and Drug Administration for the treatment of obesity work primarily by reducing appetite and increasing the feeling of fullness. What can I expect? During the first few weeks of taking a weight loss drug, a rapid drop in weight is typical. This is likely due to a significant decrease in calorie intake, coupled with the loss of water weight. When you take obesity medications, you typically don't feel like eating as much. When you consume fewer calories, your body releases stored energy in the form of glycogen, a type of sugar stored in your muscles and your liver. Because glycogen is partly water, when your body burns it for energy, you also lose water and thus weight. This effect is temporary. Incidentally, this initial period is also when side effects are the most bothersome. Are there any dangers of losing weight very quickly? Loss of muscle tissue can make it harder to maintain weight loss long term. Rapid weight loss also results in nutrient deficiencies and side effects like hair loss. Although it's okay to see rapid weight loss initially, the goal is to eventually move to a slower, more stable process, 1 to 2 pounds a week. This is generally better because with this type of weight reduction, you tend to lose more fat. How long will I need to keep taking the drug? Ideally, you'll want to pose this question to your healthcare team. As you work with the team to weigh the pros and cons of staying on your medicine long term, you should keep in mind how long you take a weight loss drug depends on whether your body responds to it. If you've lost adequate weight and aren't bothered by side effects, your healthcare team may suggest you stay on the drug even after you've reached your goal weight. On the other hand, if you haven't lost at least 5% of your body weight after taking the full dose of the drug for 3 to 6 months, your care team may discontinue or change the treatment. Together, you may decide to try a different drug to see if it works better, or stop using these drugs altogether. If side effects interfere with your daily life, tell your healthcare team. Your care team might be able to adjust the medication dosage to reduce your symptoms. Another option is to try a different weight loss drug to see if it's effective and if you tolerate it better. He also points out that many weight loss medications require daily or weekly injections. This delivery method can be challenging if you have a needle phobia or injection site redness, swelling, or itching. Contact your healthcare team to ensure you have thorough training on proper injection techniques, and make sure to change your injection sites regularly and use mild, non-irritating cleansers to help to keep the areas clean. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.